Learn to light a candle in the darkest moments of someone's life. Be the light that helps others see. It is what gives life its deepest significance. And this week's opening quote comes from Roy T. Bennett. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And it's nice to be back, folks, and right at the start of the show here, I would like to put out my most heartfelt sympathies to the people of California who are experiencing what seems to be the regular yearly fire occurrence, almost the regular monthly fire occurrence that is happening in California these days. The Kincaid fire up near San Francisco and also the fires in LA as well. I mean, it's just an ongoing thing in California these days. It never used to be that way, but that seems to be the way it is now. And I would suspect that this is not a natural occurrence, folks. This is being done with directed energy weapons. I would suggest, anyway, it really does not seem to be normal at all. And, of course, while the fires are happening in California, we're having an enormous amount of cold weather coming into other places. In Utah the other day, it was 45 degrees below zero. This is just outrageous, folks, in this time of the year for the weather to be that cold. So all sorts of extreme weather happening all over the United States, and I would suggest most of it is being done by design. But anyway, I do send my most heartfelt sympathies and best wishes to those people who have been displaced and who may be suffering the effects of the fires in California. And as for the rest of the world, and California included, of course, what we all seem to be doing is suffering the effects of our governments, and certainly not the least of which is happening with the people in Australia, who are most certainly feeling the effects of the government here. And there's actually been a bit of a push back from the people. You know, a lot of people in the mainstream are now realizing that they've been played just as much as everybody else. The people that have been used to control us are starting to see that, well, the powers that believe they be really don't care about them either, and they are actually going to be just as controlled as everybody else. A lot of the people who thought that they are on some sort of a pedestal and thought they were in some sort of a position of authority, perhaps a little bit immune from the system because they had complied with the system so much and done what they were told so much that they thought they'd probably be left alone, but they're seeing that it's now coming for them as well. And we're seeing a huge pushback from organizations such as the mainstream media, the Your Right to Know movement that has united all of the Australian media in one push back towards government is a good thing to see. Whether it's too little too late or whether it's controlled is another question, but I don't think it is too controlled. I actually think that the people in the mainstream media are starting to realize that what we conspiracy theorists have been attempting to point out to them for so many years is the truth, and that the government is now coming for them just as much as it's been coming for everybody else. They don't mean anything. They never did mean anything. They were simply being used to push the government line and to push the government propaganda. And now that the system is ready to come into lockdown, they're going to get locked down with everybody else. I mean, they don't matter any more than anybody else. The system doesn't care about them, and the system has always been going to come for them. It's always been planned this way. They never really mattered. They were just doing the government's bidding for the paycheck that they were getting, but ultimately it didn't mean anything at all. But they're starting to realize that the Australian government really has gotten out of control. And you've got to understand as well, I mean, people in the media, as much as we dislike the media, we know that they spread propaganda and lies. There's not a lot of integrity in there, but ultimately they're just people. When it all comes down to the bottom line, they're just people. And they're going to suffer the same effects as everybody else when this system does come into lockdown. You know, and they've been noticing that things are just not right. I mean, you know, that what they did, I mean, I don't know how many people noticed it, but most of the Australian newspapers, I think like six or seven of the major Australian media outlets all basically ran the same story, which was a redacted front page on their newspapers. You know, the Herald, the Australian, the Age, all these newspapers put out the same report and basically had a headline saying, "When government keeps the truth from you, what are they covering up?" And they had redacted the entire front page. And they were complaining hearing about stories such as the government's refusal to disclose the aged care homes that were responsible for more than 4,000 reports of assaults on residents in 1 year. 1 year, folks, 4,000 assaults against people in aged care homes by the homes themselves, and the government is refusing to tell you which homes it happened to be, who the people were who were assaulting the old people. Not good for business to disclose these homes. So this is what they're doing, folks. This is the sort of stuff they're hiding from people. And, of course, this whole response has been due to the raiding of the ABC offices last year, or the beginning of this year, because the ABC reported that Australia is becoming a police surveillance state, actually using software and technology that is being used in China. Software that was rejected by the United States government as being too intrusive against the population. The Australian government doesn't care. They're already got it, and they're already running it and already using it against the people, and they were doing it last year in November 2018 when the ABC reported it, and then this year the offices of the ABC studio were raided for reporting that story, and so we've seen a pushback from the media. And this is what is happening. You know, the people in the media and the people of Australia are starting to realise just how bad it's getting here and just how out of control the Australian government really is. Now, when it's got to the point that they're putting out surveillance on their population and even reporting it becomes a crime, well, then you know that you're heading into waters that are full of deep shit, ladies and gentlemen. And Australia is becoming a surveillance state. It's becoming a police state. And the more the media is attempting to alert the people that this is happening, the more the media is getting into trouble for doing so. And with the state of this country, I mean, apathetically, you've got to wonder, even if the media does alert the population to the fact that this is happening, will the population actually do anything? Or will they simply expect the media to fix the problem themselves? Oh, you're reporting the problem, so therefore you're going to report to me when you fix the problem. That seems to be the general state of the Australian consciousness, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a very sad thing to see. But of course, you'll find that most people have that attitude because many people are simply too scared to actually say the right thing. They're too scared to speak out against government, too scared to actually say what's going on for fear of reprisal. See, Australia doesn't have a Bill of Rights. It doesn't protect free speech. And this whole your right to know movement is starting to recognise this. And it's true, folks, because it is your right to know that the Australian government is corrupt as you can possibly get in a Western government. That is what you have the right to know. Now, this government is absolutely abominable, folks. It's a bunch of criminals who've usurped power in this country and are doing what they can to lock the rest of the population down. And the absolute disrespect of the Australian Federal Police, the absolute disrespect these people have for actual law, should be very evident by this as well. I mean, the fact that the police would go and support this type of legislation, just go and terrorise and arrest and abuse people the way they're doing, the fact that they would go and arrest people in the media for reporting government criminality shows just how corrupt the police are. They don't care about law. All they care about is what the politicians tell them to do. They're not people who are doing the right thing by society. They're just brain-dead lapdogs that are doing what the government tells them, what the politicians tell them. Now, the fact that the government lowered the induction rate, the IQ induction rate for police officers down to something like 102 or 104, whereby anybody just above the level of moron is accepted, anybody above that level is not accepted as anyone who is useful as a police officer, this is really starting to come back and affect society in a very dramatically bad way, folks. The fact that these people are so stupid that they would go and arrest media people for reporting crimes simply because the government wrote it on paper. This is absolutely outrageous. I mean, you look back in the old days, folks, it used to be the media that went and did all the snooping and uncovered the crimes and put the story in the newspapers, and then the police would act on the story and they'd go and follow up and they'd go and arrest the criminals. Now it's been completely reversed. Now the media is only able to report that which is approved by government, which allows the government to commit any crime it wants. And people would think, well, no, that's not going to happen because government is government. It would never do that. But folks, government is people, just like you, just like the people in the media. It's just people. It's just people. And these people in government, the politicians, have maneuvered themselves into a position where now they are able to do whatever they want. And just the fact that they've done this and they've got legislation like this in place means that politics has now become an area which is very, very attractive to criminals, very, very attractive to psychopaths, very, very attractive to people who want to be able to milk the world dry, carry out major crimes and not get called out for it and get away with their actions. All they really have to do in the modern world is join politics and the world is suddenly their oyster. Because there's one set of rules, folks, and these rules are applied to the people, but they're not applied to those above the people, those in the positions of controlling the situation. The rules aren't applied to them. It's a completely different set of rules to them. They just get away with whatever they want to do. Occasionally one of them is hung out to dry just to give us the appearance that actually means something and the illusion that the people at the top are subject to the same law that we are subject to, but really it's just theatrics. Theatre for the masses, folks. They only do this sort of stuff because they want us to think that the rules apply to them, but really they don't. They apply to us and us alone. And the only reason it even is that way is because we have this incredible belief that authority is real when it's not. And it's really high time the people of the world woke up to this fact, folks. It really is. We're at a point where humanity is being pushed against a wall right around the world. Our backs are being pushed against a wall and it's high time we responded. And all we have to do to respond is stand in integrity. We don't need violence. Sure, there might be a call for counter-violence. If the powers that believe they be choose to get violent with us, we may need to respond. But ultimately, all we have to do is stand steadfast and say, no, we've woken up to your game and we've decided we're not going to do this anymore. All we really have to do, folks, is face the reality of what this world is. Just face that reality and be strong enough and prepared to admit that to ourselves. That's the problem. A lot of people can see it, but they simply don't want to admit it. And very often it's because they're basically scared to. It's been an ongoing process, but over the period of the last few generations, mankind has very much been cowed into compliance and very much had their wings snipped. You know, all of this has happened through this misapplication of law. The fact that, as I said, the laws are applied to us, but they're not applied to the people who run the show. You know, we're given the illusion they're applied to them, but ultimately they're not. And if there's going to be any law at all, then it needs to be a law that is applied evenly. It needs to be a law that is based in natural law and is there to prevent the causation of harm and to provide remedy when harm is caused in all of its aspects. Not a system of rules that applies to the people and another set of rules which applies to the ruling hand. Because ultimately, it's just people. Although that might be set to change soon as well. There's talk of new robot police officers that will be on the street soon, folks. Robot police officers, won't that be fun? That will be like Terminator or Elysium or something like that. I'll tell you, if I ever see a robot police officer, the first thing I'll be doing will be getting a sledgehammer out of my car and turning it into a pile of scrap metal because that's what I think it deserves. And that's what I suggest everyone do should they ever see a robot police officer. I think they should turn it into a pile of metal and throw it through a politician's front door. That would be an appropriate response, I would suggest, to anything like that, folks. Such things would never respect natural law. They would never respect real law. All they will ever do will be make sure people are walking between the lines that the criminal cabal masquerading as government puts in place. And this is simply not acceptable, folks. That's not what law is about. And certainly having human beings comply with the wishes or demands of a lump of metal masquerading as a police officer is not anything to do with life or law at all. Now, if there's going to be law that is to be respected and there's going to be any type of rule of law in this country at all, then it has to be applied evenly and fairly in protection of everybody's freedoms. And that also includes the government. And if the people are under threat of whatever from politicians, there's no reason the politicians should not be prosecuted themselves. And the fact that the police aren't doing this is very, very telling, ladies and gentlemen. The politicians can simply legislate themselves to be above prosecution, and then the police, in their incredibly terminal stupidity, will actually support that, and they'll go out and arrest people who are trying to expose government criminality simply because the politicians wrote down on paper that they're free from prosecution and they should be able to do anything they want to do, basically. You know, we live in this paper-based reality, folks, and it really does show the danger of the current situation and the absolute stupidity of the police in going along with this. And it's time for the people of Australia to really put their tools down and say we've had enough of this. It's time for the people of Australia to rise up and express a loss of confidence in Scott Morrison's government, a loss of confidence in this government's ability to govern and take the necessary steps to have this government dismissed and the politicians within this government prosecuted and held accountable for their actions. That's what needs to happen, ladies and gentlemen, and needs to be done now while we still have time to do it, before the situation gets irreversible. And it is fast becoming that way. It really is. If we do not rein this out-of-control criminal cabal in, then we're screwed. We seriously are, folks. It's getting down to the wire. And even the media is noticing this now. So, you know, in many ways, it's a good thing. Now, it's a good thing that the people are noticing that the government and the police really don't care about them, and they don't. And it's not only here in Australia, it's happening all over the world as well, certainly in America. There was a report, did anyone see the report that came out from the United States? The police blew up a man's house searching for an armed shoplifter. There was a guy who was apparently shoplifting from a supermarket or whatever, and he took refuge in someone's house, and a siege ensued. And the police hit this house with rockets and all sorts of stuff, got the guy out without harming him, got him alive and all sorts of stuff, but they completely destroyed an innocent man's home in doing so, and then said, well, sorry about that, didn't mean to destroy your home, but tough luck, that's the way it goes. And the court approved it, and the state's not going to do anything about it. They're just simply saying, well, sorry, you lost your home, that's the way it goes, we did it in order to keep the public safe. How is destroying someone's home and putting a family out on the street in order to catch a shoplifter keeping the public safe? But this is the mentality of these people, folks. Just big boys with big boy toys like to go and blow things up and say, well, sorry about that, but it was great fun at the time. And hey, we got the perpetrator, so it's all good. It's like Team America, the opening scene of Team America when they absolutely destroy Paris in order to catch a terrorist, you know. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But this is the mentality of the law enforcement agencies, the powers that believe they be. It's the mentality of the government and the mentality of the legal system that supports it. A bunch of psychopaths, folks. They really are. And if there's any doubt of that, in Australia here, where the population has been disarmed, but we are now apparently producing weapons for all the other warmongering regimes all over the world, they've just developed a new gun here in Australia, which is a digital gun, which removes the need for the person firing the gun to actually have to sight or even really identify their target. The gun will do it for them. It will identify human or non-human targets, and it will simply identify when the best time for a kill shot to be made is, and it will make the kill shot for you. Of course, it says it's doing it to remove human error, like the error of actually thinking for yourself, the error of having any morals, the error of actually knowing that you're about to murder another human being. We don't want people thinking like that. We just want them dead. So that's what this gun is for, folks. It's for killing people more efficiently without the bother of having to actually think about what you're doing. So it removes all human thought from the equation. This is a gun which will simply kill by pointing in the right direction. Too bad if it happens to be a child or the wrong target or anything like that. It just does the job efficiently, because that's what we want, is efficient methods of killing. And this is a perfect example that there are psychopaths working within the Australian military, psychopaths working within the Australian Defence Force, psychopaths working within the computer world as well, because only a psychopath would invent a weapon like this, and only a corporation or company run by psychopaths would produce it. and only a government of psychopaths would promote it and sell it to the rest of the world. So just the fact that this gun has been invented and now exists shows very clearly that there are psychopaths in control of the Australian Defence Force, the Australian legal system, and the Australian government. And it's high time we did something about it, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, it's time for the people of this country to rise up and express a loss of confidence in the psychopathic Scott Morrison government, the psychopathic Scott Morrison who is running the government and the psychopaths within the government, and just get these people out of power and put them somewhere where they will no longer hurt people the way they're currently doing. And Scott Morrison, if you're listening to this, I think you should go stick your head in a toilet somewhere, mate. You really should. Maybe if you give that head a good flush out, you'll return to the human race, because you certainly don't seem to resemble anything that resembles human at the moment, and you certainly do not have the best interest of Australia or anybody except yourself and the banking elite you seem to support at heart. Your actions indicate you to be a non-human, anti-life psychopath. And the question must be asked how you ever even got to be in the position that you're in, because I didn't think anyone had ever heard of Scott Morrison before he suddenly was appointed as the supreme leader of Australia, even though most of Australia voted for someone completely different. That's just the way politics seems to work in this country, folks. Doesn't matter who you vote for, they just put in whoever they want anyway, and it always leads in the same direction. And it's true, folks, and it doesn't matter which country you're in, it's all just theatre for the masses. One big crime family just pretending that they're actually against each other, when really they're all working for the same people and they're all working for the same cause. And so nothing ever changes. Now, you can find all the problems, you can locate all the problems, you can identify them, you can mount protests, you can even mount action against all the problems. Doesn't matter what you do, nothing ever changes, because it's one big crime family and they all work together. That's why it doesn't even matter what party you vote for, folks. I mean, you can vote for a party. I mean, the Labor government is saying, oh, we want everything that the Liberal government's doing with all this surveillance stuff and the cash ban. This is nothing that we would do. We don't want to see any of this. You need to put us in power because we'll roll all this back. You could do that. You could vote for Labor and they will come into power. And as soon as they make an attempt to roll it all back, if they actually start making some headway at all, you'll find that they'll replace the leader. The parliament, the government will express a loss of confidence in their leader and they'll replace him with someone else. And then it will just continue in the same direction. That's what they always do. These politicians even switch sides all the time, being a Labor Party one year, then Liberal Party the next year. Doesn't matter. It's all part of the same thing. It's all part of the same puppet show. It all goes in the same direction. And it's all theatrics, folks. So much theatre. They're always pulling out the theatrical props and play it in the direction they want to play when they need to do it, folks. The way Trump's doing at the moment, the whole impeachment thing that's happening with Trump. So right in the middle of it all, we get, oh, look, I've just killed al-Baghdadi. And how many times is that he's been killed now? Wasn't it 2014 he was killed? And then again 2016 and 2017. I don't forget how many times al-Baghdadi has been killed. But that's what we hear from Trump now. Right on cue, right when he needs it. Oh, look, I've just killed Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi in Syria. I've killed the ISIS leader. This is the way bin Laden was trotted out for Obama. Obama suddenly announced, oh yes, we've finally got Osama bin Laden. Now they're saying they finally killed Baghdadi, when Baghdadi is actually well known to be a guy called Elliot Shimon. Simon Elliot is his code name. He's a well-known Mossad agent, works for Israel the whole time. The whole thing's been run by Israel. ISIS is an Israeli puppet show. It's a bunch of mercenaries. It's the same mercenary army that they used to overthrow Libya. They just moved them across into Syria because the world wouldn't let the United States invade Syria. So suddenly there was a rebel uprising in Syria and the United States had to go in and help the moderate rebels. You know, it's just a puppet show, folks. You know, we weren't allowed to invade, so we just put a puppet mercenary army in there, called it ISIS, pretended they were Islamic extremists, and used them to destroy Syria. And now, right on cue, just when Trump needs a little bit of popularity to come back his way, whoop, we've just killed al-Baghdadi. Look how great we are. As I said, folks, theatre for the masses. That Mossad agent's probably just gone home with a nice fat paycheck, and we'll move on to the next ISIS leader or the next terrible terrorist organisation. Next thing, we'll be getting reports that, oh, look, while we've been paying attention to ISIS, Al-Qaeda has now risen up again. So now we've got the spectre of the old terrorist force that we were fighting before, the new terrorist force. So now we can spend the next 10 years fighting Al-Qaeda, and then we'll find that ISIS has risen up again. And it's the same thing, black and white, back and forth, same puppet show, theatre for the masses, happens on every watch. And all this death of al-Baghdadi is all happening right on cue, just to keep the people distracted and make them keep looking at the right hand so they won't notice what the left hand is doing. Which, of course, is the same thing it's always been doing, which is tightening its stranglehold around the throats of the rest of mankind. And again, it's the same in all countries. I mean, you know, we can complain about what's going on here in Australia, and I can see it right happening, you know, right under my nose here in Australia. But it's happening in other countries as well. I mean, look what's happening in Sweden. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and I said Switzerland, and I was actually referring to Sweden. I always get these countries mixed up, folks. I don't know how many times I try to get them right, but whenever I mean Switzerland, I say Sweden, and whenever I mean Sweden, I say Switzerland. Just seems to be that way. But at the moment, I'm actually talking about Sweden and what has happened to Sweden with the migrant influx into Sweden and in Germany and in other places in Europe as well. You've got to wonder why the people of these countries have not risen up and overthrown their governments as well. And you've got to wonder at the absolute stupidity of the police forces in these countries in letting their politicians get away with what they're doing. I mean, the terminal stupidity of these people, it really is the biggest problem we face, folks, you know. Really, when you're looking at this whole corrupt system, the fact that our governments are so out of control, the thing that prevents the people ever being able to stand up against the criminals that have usurped power in their governments is the terminal stupidity of the police. The order followers who just simply do whatever they're told, they will support criminal activity as long as the person carrying out the crime is a politician. As long as that person has a leather chair in the local parliament office, they can get away with whatever they want. The police will simply let them do it because the politicians wrote down on paper that the police have to do this. That's how stupid they are. And that really is one of the biggest problems we face as a society. One of the biggest problems we face in attempting to turn the ship of state around and get mankind sailing in a different direction is attempting to overcome the brick wall of terminal stupidity, which is the local police forces in all of our countries. This is a real, real problem, folks. It's a real issue. Because how do you ever deal with criminal behavior? How do you ever deal with the fact that the world is run by these criminals if you can't actually stand up and say it? And if you do stand up and say it, you haven't got any type of remedy anywhere within the legal system. The police won't do anything about it. The police will simply protect the criminals because the criminals have more expensive suits on than you do. That seems to be the rule of thumb that they go by, folks. It's how expensive your suit is, how big your front door is, what sort of a car you're driving, how much money you have in the bank, and what your connection to international banking cartels are. That seems to be what police respect more than anything. Certainly what they respect more than the rule of law. Certainly what they respect more than human rights or human freedom. Well, that's if their track record is anything to go by anyway. And as I said, folks, it is a real problem. You know, the order followers, the terminal stupidity of these people and their complete willingness to step outside their moral compass and to comply with the will of politicians and to allow society to suffer as a result. I mean, you've got to wonder, you know, don't these people have children? Don't these people have any desire to see a viable and vibrant future at all? You've really got to wonder what it is with these people. I mean, how can they be that stupid? But, well, as I said, folks, the lowering of the induction rate and the big boys club they get into, I guess there's all sorts of reasons for it, but we really do need to acknowledge that the biggest problem we face is the police. This brick wall of people who will not allow us to address the criminality of government and who all seem to work together and have all been trained to view the people that they actually swore to protect when they joined the police force, but they now view these people as actually being the enemy, and that's a very, very stark reality, and it's a very dangerous situation, and it is a huge hurdle that we need to overcome. The question is, how do we do it? You know, we certainly don't do it by insulting them and attacking them and belittling them. We need to find some way of bringing the police back into the fold and helping these people regain some of their humanity as well. That would be a good start anyway. But folks, I think we have reached break time, so I better leave it here for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. And as always, thank you for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so getting to the police, it is really one of the biggest challenges we face. You know, unfortunately, police seem to have forgotten why they joined the police force and what the legal system was actually constructed for. Yeah, and you'll find that many police actually joined the force because they wanted to make a difference, they wanted to do the right thing, they wanted to protect society. But then they got into that mechanism and they got taught that what it was really all about was ensuring that people were walking between the lines. If people walk between these lines, then no one will get in trouble, no one will be hurt. The lines are there to keep people safe. But really the lines have been narrowed and narrowed and narrowed to the point that they're not there to keep people safe. The legal system is no longer there to prevent the causation of harm, to provide remedy when harm is caused. The legal system is now been turned around and is being used to cause harm against the people of society and not to provide remedy at all. All it does is provide remedy for the politicians and give them a mechanism by which they can deal with anybody who is thinking for themselves, thinking outside the box, or is unwilling to comply with government criminality. And the lines, as I said, are getting more and more narrow. And the police seem to have forgotten what the role of the police actually is, what it was designed to be when the police were first created. And we need to find a way of reaching these people. We really do. It's one of the biggest problems we face. But of course, we face such a conspiratorial mindset, even within the resistance. This is one of the big hurdles we need to overcome as well. I mean, if there is any type of awakening within areas of the mainstream, very often large areas of the resistance will go, oh no, well that's controlled opposition. They will simply do that by default, straight away. Now, even with this pushback that we're seeing here with the media in Australia, the whole redacted action that they've taken, and the whole Your Right to Know campaign that's been launched by the mainstream media in Australia, you'll find a lot of the conspiracy people, a lot of the independent media will say, oh no, this is a play, this is a ploy, this is a trap for us. The way they say everything's a trap, the way they've done with Julian Assange. I mean, Julian Assange is being hung out to dry. Julian Assange is basically being murdered by the British legal system while people are arguing about whether he's controlled opposition or whether he isn't. The point is that he's a man who's in jail, who is being used to set a legal precedent, which is going to be used to lock the rest of us down as well. And we should be making a noise about this. This man should be brought back to Australia. And all of the information that he's been sharing should be brought out in the open. You know, when that happens, perhaps you'll be able to find out whether he's controlled opposition or not. I mean, I personally don't agree with a lot of the stuff that Julian Assange promotes. I don't agree with his views on 9/11. I don't agree with a lot of stuff. But be that as it may, he shouldn't be rotting in jail the way he is, and he shouldn't have been just left to hang out to dry by the independent media who claims that they're standing for some form of justice. I mean, if you are standing for some sort of justice, then you need to acknowledge that this man needs to be let out of jail straight away. He needs to be brought back to Australia, and the whole thing needs to be brought out into the open so that the world knows what's going on. Now, rather than letting our egos get in the way and debating it and arguing with other people because they disagree with us and all this sort of stuff that we do, folks, I mean, it's ridiculous. Too many people allow their egos to get in the way of real research. They allow their egos to get in the way of real activism as well. And when they do get an opportunity, you know, when we do get an opportunity to make a difference, too many people say, oh no, that's a conspiracy theory, that's part of the controlled opposition, simply because that's the way they're programmed to react. You know, people are tied up in infighting, they'll tie it up in argument, oh, whether he's controlled opposition, whether he's this or whether he's not. Meanwhile, he's just rotting in jail and dying. You know, and the judge just didn't even comment on the fact that when he came to the courtroom, he was completely incoherent. This is one of the most intellectual people you'd ever hear, very, very intellectual. There was a comment by someone who said, you know, why didn't the judge comment on this? The judge simply said, well, you know, if you aren't competent enough to know what's going on in the court case, then it'll be decided in your absence. Didn't make any acknowledge of the fact that this man's mental state has deteriorated grotesquely while he's been held in a British jail. No acknowledgement of that at all. Just simply left him to be hung out to dry. And as I said, you know, the independent media are just busy arguing amongst themselves and not really looking at the bigger picture. And meanwhile, this guy is suffering as a result. Irrespective of whether you think he's controlled opposition or not, he's a human being. He's rotting in jail. And that could happen to you. It could happen to me. It could happen to anybody. And if it did, what sort of help are you going to get from anybody? What sort of help are you going to get when the entire independent media has been programmed to simply sit there and argue over the details and debate whether you're blue or green or purple or grey or whatever, rather than simply looking at the fact that you're deteriorating and they could do something about it where they get a little bit of focus? But no, they don't. They just allow their egos to get in the way and argue over the details. And as I said, folks, it's ridiculous. It doesn't get us anywhere. It's completely absurd. You know, it certainly doesn't bring about any change, and it certainly doesn't provide any type of remedy for us. It certainly isn't anybody grabbing the opportunities that come along to us and seizing these opportunities to see what we could do with them. You know, because all of these things are opportunities for freedom, folks, if we could just get a little bit of focus on that, because that's what the issue is. It's not about who's right or wrong. It's not about who's controlled and who isn't. It's about freedom, and that's always what it's been about. You know, one of the biggest things that's getting in the way of freedom is, as I've said, the so-called truth movement, the fact that truth is subjective and the need for people to find their own personal truth has kind of been weaponized against freedom. And it's a program. People have been programmed to distrust anything that contravenes their own personal truth, irrespective of how true it is. If it's something they believe, and well, that's the truth according to them. When really, it's just a belief, and that's what the whole truth movement has become. It's been a whole bunch of different belief systems and people arguing over these belief systems. You know, it is programmed, folks, and if people can't see it, well, there's not going to be much hope for us. Like I said, you know, the people in the mainstream media, the people all in the mainstream that have been used to control us, the pawns, the people that have been used as puppets to bring us into line, a lot of these people are going to start realizing, and if they're not realizing already, and I think some of them probably are, that they're expendable too. They never mattered to begin with. All the stuff that they thought actually meant something didn't. They don't have any privileges. Whatever money they were given doesn't matter. It's all going to be digital. They can get locked out of it at any moment simply because they missed a phone call or thought the wrong way or made the wrong comment on Twitter. It's as simple as that. Every single one of them is expendable, and I think a lot of them are seeing what this system is actually becoming, and they're realizing just how expendable they are. So I think you're going to find a lot of the mainstream people actually reaching out to the independent media and reaching out to the so-called conspiracy culture, hoping to get some sort of support from them. And I think it's up to us to give them this support when we can and to bring these people into the fold when we can and to show that it's not about our ego. It's not about being right. It's not about any of this stuff. It's about creating some form of unity and changing the direction that mankind is going, because if we don't, then nobody is going to survive what is coming. Simple as that, folks. You know, we're all in this boat together. And people really do need to pay attention to this. And they need to get these opportunities when they come and seize these opportunities when they come, because these are all opportunities for us to pull together and to create some form of unity. And unity is what we need more than anything. You know, without unity, we are screwed. You know, without some form of unity, some form of focus, unified focus on freedom, we're never going to get anywhere. And if we continue to argue about all the details and continue to distrust everybody who wants to come over the fence and join the right side of history, then we're never going to get anywhere, folks. We need to bring people into the fold and allow people to have made mistakes in the past and just forget that. Allow them to come and join the right side of history, like I said. It doesn't matter what people did, folks. It matters what people do. It matters what we do from this point. You know, everybody's made mistakes along the way, and a lot of people probably didn't realize just what they were involved in. And now that they are waking up, it's up to us to accept that and to, as I said, allow them to come over and join the right side of history. I mean, what do we want? Where do we expect this to go once we started speaking out? We've wanted people within the mainstream to wake up for years. And now when we do see them wake up, there's this whole element within the so-called truth movement that simply wants to attack them simply because they were once part of the other side. You know, they forget they were asleep once too. Many people who are now fighting for truth and fighting for freedom were once part of the system. They may not have been fighting against truth and freedom, but they were part of the system. They were part of the whole mechanism, part of the matrix. They were supporting it. They just didn't know they were. And so, you know, those that are in the system now that are waking up to the fact that they've been supporting the wrong team, we've got to allow these people to have made the same mistakes that we made and to forgive them their transgressions and let them simply come over and do the right thing. You know, even if they've done the wrong thing in the past, as long as they want to do the right thing now, as long as they've realized that and they want to make that change, well, isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what growth is about? Isn't that what finding your path is? Isn't that what becoming human means? So let's allow that to happen and let's allow things to take their natural course. And this is why I've often said that I don't seek revenge on anyone. I don't wish to take anybody and have them put in jail or anything like that. I mean, I say that all the time. Yeah, let's get the politicians and try them and put them on Christmas Island or whatever. Sure, because I think a lot of them are psychopaths and we won't be able to reach these people. But ultimately, I'd like to. You know, I don't really want revenge against anyone. I just want them to stop what they're doing. I just want the world to go in a different direction. And I don't see how me carrying out any act of violence against anybody for what they've done is going to heal what they've done. You know, it may get rid of some pent-up emotion in my being or in whoever's being or whoever wants to go and do this. You know, you're feeling that way that you really want to go and tear their heads off. I mean, maybe that will alleviate your frustration in some way, but ultimately it won't do any good at all. It won't help anything. Yeah, and rather than hurt these people, I'd like to bring them home. I'd like to have them all rejoin the human race. And I think that's what would be far more beautiful than any act of revenge we'd ever get against these people. I don't think revenge is what it's all about at all. You know, what it's about is improving the human condition. You know, and to do that, I mean, forgiveness is a very powerful thing. It's not only powerful for the people who receive the forgiveness, it's also a very, very powerful thing for you to do. It's a very, very huge spiritual step for people to take, a huge step on the path to spiritual growth, to be able to forgive someone. Perhaps you should try it. And really, it would make such a difference if this was taught in schools. I mean, if it was just taught to people, the power of forgiveness, it really is a hugely, hugely powerful force. And we do have to be able to forgive people, folks, and we've got to be able to forgive the people in the mainstream who've been involved in the construction of this system and to be able to put all their past behind them and just let that be and bring them into the fold. We really do, because it's the only way we're ever going to be able to move forward. You know, we're at a very, very important time in history, folks, and what I see with a lot of this, what I see with this whole Your Right to Know movement from the mainstream media is the fact that we've actually made a difference in the independent media. We've actually started to reach these people. And personally, I think that's a good thing. I mean, what else are we going to do, folks? What else was the plan? Were we just going to sit here and shake our fist at the government for the rest of our lives and think that it was never going to get anywhere and that's what it was actually all about, just shaking your fist at the government? No, it's about a lot more than that. Because really, it's about a lot more than that. It's about waking up the people in the mainstream and motivating them into wanting to make a difference, motivating them into the necessity for them to stand up for themselves. And I think that's what we're beginning to see. And I think, as I said, folks, this is a good thing. It's good that people want to get involved, and it's good that people are prepared to put their fear down and simply call things for what they are. We need more of it. You know, as I've often said, folks, the thing that's really going to overcome this system, ultimately, when it all comes down to the wire, is love. And that may sound weird to people, but it's true. And we've got to be prepared to put our stuff down with others if we want that to work. You know, every person who is currently locked in the matrix, every person who has even been working against freedom, unbeknownst to themselves. I mean, many people who are working in the independent media and many people who are working within these government systems really don't know what they're involved in. It's all very compartmentalized. They're simply doing their job. They're trying to further their career, become successful in inverted commas, because that's what they think it's all about. And when they do wake up, what they find is that they don't have any allies. They don't have anywhere to turn in the independent media because we all see them as being controlled opposition or whatever. You know, we all see them as being judgeable by their past actions and not realizing that they were simply part of the matrix and often didn't realize it. And that every single person who is currently part of the matrix is a potential ally for freedom. And that's something that we really have to acknowledge. And if we can put our stuff down with people and be prepared to allow people to have made mistakes in the past the way we did. You know, we all make mistakes, folks. That's how people learn. Sometimes it's a little more difficult for some people than it is for others. Sometimes it takes people a lot longer to see what they're involved in than it does for others. And I'll tell you, the more successful you are within the matrix, within that system, the more money you get behind you, the more possessions you get behind you, the more you are riding that wave, the harder it is for you to see what you're involved in. Because you get caught in that wave, you get caught in that economic system, you get caught in that social model, you just get caught up in the whole matrix, the whole false reality, the whole pursuit of fun, rather than the pursuit of freedom, the pursuit of knowledge, the pursuit of wisdom. You know, we go for the pursuit of information, the pursuit of stuff, the pursuit of stuff that we think will mean something according to our social status or will improve our social status because we think our social status actually means something. You know, all these artificial parameters that we're given, we very often think this is what it's all about. And I guarantee, folks, that once you get in there and you start making money and you start riding that wave, that's all you can really see. That's all your focus becomes. You just don't notice what's happening with the rest of the world. You don't notice the control grid because it's all working for you. You can't see that there's a problem. You've got plenty of money. You've got all the opportunities. You've got all the resources that you need. It's all working out for you. So you can't really see what the problem is. You just think, oh, there's a lot of people out there who complain about things. But hey, this is the land of the free, the home of the brave. This is a place where anybody can make it. Look what I've done. I started off in this little small town in this little small city, and now look at me, I'm a successful millionaire. That's what people think. So they think that the whole system is real and that it does actually mean something. You know, if they ever get time to stop riding that wave and to actually sit back, you know, they get enough money that they actually think, well, perhaps I can take some time off and sit back and enjoy it and open up this oyster that I've found at the top of the world here. Once they do open it, they realize that it's an empty shell, there's nothing there. All of it didn't really mean anything. Perhaps they will get time to think about their lives a little bit, but not while they're riding the wave. While they're riding the wave, all that really matters is the wave, because that's just the way the human mind works. So we need to take that into account when looking at these people and looking at this system and looking at the people we're dealing with. You know, half of the people who are involved in all of these really evil corporations and all these really terrible things have no real idea what they're doing. They're not inherently evil people. They're simply riding the wave, and they're not even aware that the wave exists. It's just what life is for them. It's just the way they grew up. It's what they grew up into, and it's what they've become. And the best thing we can offer these people is love, compassion, and forgiveness. It may seem a little weird to people. You know, there's a lot of people out there who want revenge, a lot of people who want to be violent. A lot of people who are really, really angry about the state of the world, and they just want to hack it down and they want to tear heads off. They want to hang people from the highest yardarm. And sure, I can understand that. I mean, I'm angry. I'm incredibly angry at the state of the world. If I wasn't angry, I wouldn't do the radio shows, but that's what I do with my anger. I do these radio shows. I channel that anger into calm, eloquent discourse. mean, sometimes I aren't so calm and eloquent. Sometimes I completely sound off in the comment section. Sometimes on my video, I have no problem letting off a stream of expletives towards someone who comes and insults me or attacks me because, hey, I gotta let some steam off somewhere as well. And I'm an Australian and we love to swear. That's just the way it is. If this wasn't a Christian radio station I was on, folks, you'd find I'd be swearing like a trooper on these radio shows. Just because I'm an Australian and we love to swear. I don't think it really means anything, swearing. I mean, it's just a form of expression. I think it's quite descriptive. I think it's quite helpful sometimes when you want to get a point across. But anyway, I guess I'm leaving the topic a little bit. But the point is, folks, we can't be so quick to judge people. We can't be so quick to accuse everybody of being controlled opposition. We can't be so quick to allow ourselves to be tied up in infighting and tied up on debating over details and allowing the big opportunities to get away. You're arguing over the details of Assange while we're allowing him to rot in jail. This is a terrible thing to be doing to another human being. Arguing over the details of 9/11 rather than just simply acknowledging the fact that the government story was a complete crock was what caused that whole 9/11 truth movement to fail as well. Arguing over the details of the shape of the earth rather than just acknowledging the fact that it's a prison. All of these things are details. All of these things are finer points that we're taught to argue about because divide and conquer is the motto. And while we continue to argue over our belief systems, which is what essentially arguing over details is, now when you're arguing over details of something which is up for debate and you don't know what the actual truth is, you don't know what the real outcome of the debate is yet, you've simply adopted one side and adopted a belief system and you're arguing with others. I mean, this isn't ever going to lead to the mystery being solved. It isn't ever going to lead to freedom. All we need to do is acknowledge the fact that all these mysteries exist in the first place because we're not free. And so that needs to be what the focus is. And we do have so many opportunities to bring this freedom about, folks. But we have to realize that not everybody's going to think like we do. And we are at a time now where a lot of the people in the mainstream are going to be waking up because the ruling hand is locking things down and it's becoming obvious to everyone. And a lot of the people that we've been attempting to wake up are now going to start waking up. And as they do, we can't think that it's all controlled, folks. We need to embrace these people and bring them into the fold because ultimately it's one race, one human family. We are all in this together. We are all facing the same future. And if we can get a little bit of focus on that, then we do have an opportunity rising right now that could very well lead us to freedom if we can just get some focus. So, yeah, pay attention, folks. Now's the time, and I think it's a very, very important time. So, yeah, please, please do pay attention, and please do share information. Just share it in the right way. And, well, folks, we have once again reached that time of the day where it is now the end of the show. It's been a pleasure to come and talk to you again today. It's always a pleasure to come and talk to you. They seem to go quite quickly, these radio shows. Some people say, why is the show an hour long? You should do shorter shows. Well, it just seems to go quite quickly, even as being an hour. And an hour is the time slot, folks. It's a radio show. The YouTube clips are incidental. The radio slot is 1 hour, and that's why the shows are 1 hour. So there you go. Deal with it. And they're not actually an hour anyway. They're actually 54 minutes, well, thereabouts usually. But anyway, folks, that is it for me. Thank you for joining me on the air today. As I've mentioned to you previously, I will be speaking at Anarchapulco in February. If you would like to get a ticket to that, you can go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and you can click the Anarchapulco banner on that website. And if you go in through that entry point, that will give you a 10% discount on your purchase ticket. And that's a good saving. I'm also going to be speaking at an event in the United States, I think in April, called the Zen Awakening event. I don't have any more information on that, but I will give you some as soon as it comes to hand. I'm also going to be organizing an event probably in March or April, and that will be in Los Angeles or in the area of Los Angeles if California is still there, if it hasn't burnt to the ground by April next year, March or April next year. And I will very likely be speaking at Ian Crane's AV11 event in the UK as well. I still haven't heard from Ian Crane, but I'm usually speaking at that event, and I would say that's on the cards for next year as well. These are the only events that I have booked for next year, and I do intend to wind the touring down after next year, folks, after I speak in the UK in May, I intend to go over to Europe and catch up with some of my friends in Holland and Spain because I think it will be the last time I'm going to be there for a long time. And then I intend to come back to Australia and spend most of the duration here in this country and attempt to deal with some of the issues that we have here. Now, it's nice to go out around the world and meet so many people and to spread this message far and wide as I can, but it really is starting to get to me the amount of travelling folks. And so if you would like to come and say hello, look for me at some of those events next year. An Acapulco in Mexico in February, a Zen Awakening event, which I don't know where it is, but it'll be somewhere in the United States. There will be an event in Los Angeles in March or April, and as I said, very likely an event in the UK in May. And they will be very likely the final events that I do. This may well be, 2020 may well be the last year of touring that I do, folks. So I have said it for a while, and I do intend to follow through with this. So I'll just put that out there now for anybody who would like to come and say hello. Next year is going to be probably your final opportunity. That is it for me, folks. As I always mention, thank you to the many people who send me so many kind emails. I am attempting to get on top of these emails, and I am reaching a lot of people. And thank you to the people who support me on Patreon. You are the people who keep this show on the air. I couldn't do any of this work were it not for the help that you people give me and the means you provide for me to continue getting this message out. So I cannot thank you enough for that. And I'm sure everybody else sends you the good energy that you deserve as well. But that is it for me, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.